Jesus has a table spread. We are the saints of God of faith.
To his fighting, choosing people.
And the bread of life is the word of God. It is the food for the soul. Hallelujah. You want your soul to find nourishment? Then you go to the bread of life. Hallelujah. Can we stand up and let's go to the Lord's table? Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Let's pick it as a text. If you don't mind, let's honor the word for today by standing up with our Bibles. Hallelujah. Are we there? Luke chapter 12. Hallelujah. Verse 31. If we are there together, we shall read it together. Shall we go? But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. And we are in a very serious season of this ministry. A season for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are in a very, very serious season. I note that generally man, especially the Gentile man, it's more serious with God when it comes to receiving material things than when it comes to receiving spiritual things. See? People will travel from every part of this country to come to Lagos for family deliverance. People will travel to the mountain and do dry fasting to be able to get a job. People will do anything. They will sow the last they have, believing God for a breakthrough in some financial blessing somewhere. The only car they have, they can sow it. Anything at all to do to get some material blessings from God, they will do it. But listen, church. John, 3 John, Let's read that popular scripture. Verse 2. That verse, it says, beloved, it says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I have tried to explain this scripture several times before. And if you remember, I have pointed your attention to what prosperity preachers, what they preach. They interpret this scripture not fully. This is what they do. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health. And then they tell you that God wishes us to prosper. They pick it as a text and begin to preach on the principles of prosperity. And what they are saying is correct. And that we should be in health. They use that to preach divine health. But that statement says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. My own understanding of this scripture goes a little further than what is presented to us. What gave rise to this statement from this context is that the people were so heavenly in their faith. They were so heavenly to the detriment of their prosperity, material prosperity. And poverty was being found among them. Holy, 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 and they were so heavenly minded until they were dead to anything else earthly. And Apostle John, the beloved, had to tell them that he's also wishing that they will prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospered. So already there was a prosperity of the soul. Now, if you read it again, you will notice that in placement of priority, your soul has to prosper first before you talk of prosperity, material prosperity, and health. Amen. And Apostle Paul told Timothy, since you were a child, he said, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that is able to make thee wise unto salvation. And I say, why will Apostle Paul tell him that? I've said it also before, that there are some scriptures that have no salvation virtue in them. No salvation virtue in them. Oh, I will. Praise God. I say it. There are some scriptures. There's no salvation in it. That's why he said the scripture say, what shall it profit a man? You gain the whole world, but lose your soul. Standing on this scripture, you can gain the whole world. There is scriptural provision for you to become billionaire. Standing on this Bible, you can become a billionaire. There are principles for prosperity given by the Holy Ghost himself. And if you apply them, you will prosper. But that line, hallelujah, amen, it does not mean, it is not evidence that you are going to heaven because you practice or put in, apply the principle of prosperity and you begin to prosper in the name of the Lord. He does not guarantee you going to heaven. Because there's nothing in that that affects your soul. Amen. I am saying this because I say Christianity has been misrepresented. The attention is focused on things that have no salvation virtue. Salvation virtue. So many of us, somebody once came to me. Amen. He loved his pastor so much. An enter message believer. They love their pastor so much. The worst hypocrites in Christianity I have come across, they are enter message believers. They are among enter message believers. I didn't say all. I said they are found there. And they are at the altar. There's one church. It was Pastor Thomas' former church. I don't want to call the name now. They love their pastor. Oh my. They stand at the altar. They can criticize call names of these Pentecostal preachers. And everything else, anything happen anywhere, they will call them, they preach raw. Then something happened, and they found themselves, they left that church, and came to Bride Assembly. Some of them, Pastor Thomas is not among this category of people. I know because they fear you. Amen. And then they came, now, that man, he is among those that God used to spearhead this message all over Nigeria. He was the biggest inter-message church in Nigeria. In fact, the whole of West Africa here. Serious revival. In fact, the whole of our European and American brethren, they looked up to him as the leader of the message believers in Nigeria. If you write anybody out there, they will refer you to him. Very influential. But something happened and he began to deviate. He deviated so there he went to struggle for the stool of the Eze of his village. And he became the king. He was addressed as Eze something. And the members loved him so there they did not find an Ibn Nahim. It was the correct. And some of us scream against it. And when they came to my church, when I preached and I mentioned the man's name, those who came, they'll be getting angry. And one of them came and met me. Hey, brother, you don't have to, you know, be careful about, you know, you all know how this man has, and then I didn't answer them in my office. I waited to the altar. Praise God. Praise the Lord. They didn't know which ministry they were coming to. As at that time, we never reached 100 people. We never reached 100 members. When this thing happened, this church never reached 100 members. This is why they preach now. Nobody to that. Start a move. When we there, four of us. Praise the Lord. And why I make reference to that? Because you fall under the, some of you fall under the same category. Listen, church. I had to ask them, why did you leave that church? You left that church because you were offended. Somebody offended you. The pastor insulted you. The pastor hit your ego. And in anger to get at him, you left the church. So, why did you leave the church? It was not because of a revelation. And if there's anybody here You make this place your church because you quarrel with your pastor. You quarrel with anybody in that church. I am telling you, you are in the wrong place. God will not honor your faith. The only reason why you should leave your church is based on doctrinal difference, revelation. Any other thing beyond that, it is carnality. You are proud. He insulted you. You needed help. They refused to help you, so you changed church. You are carnal. You are carnal because you are only here temporarily. Very soon you will live here too. Go back to your church. I'm telling you true Christianity. You are proud, that's why. And God, you think that God is honoring your faith. Now you are here now. You used to pay tithe there before. No pay again. I will pay brother assembly now. Then make them vex. Then they receive my money again. You think you are just being carnal. In fact, you have worsened your case spiritually. Praise Master Jesus. Praise Master Jesus. And I frustrated them that came to make sure they went back to their church. They loved the man. They loved the man. Bless some of you love Baba Adeboye too much. But your branch pastor offended you. That's why even as you are here, you are still praying in your room. Oh God of Baba Adeboye. But this thing, I'm not going to go there again. Go back, you don't belong here. I'm telling you, you don't belong here. In your dream, no, your man go there, you don't see every time. You don't see Pastor Moses. In your dream, now about the boy, you don't see. And you don't see me. That's evidence. There is no connection. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why this man they preach like say you don't want members? Am I a politician? Am I looking for vote from you? So which one be member? Praise the Lord. The members of the body of Christ, they are already known by God. Their names are in the book of life. Hallelujah. So our attention has been shifted. When Apostle Paul made that prayer in Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his glory. And I picked it as a text. And I say, he did not say that my God shall supply all your needs. He said, but my God shall supply all your, is there S there? So there is one thing that you need. When you have that thing, you have every other thing. One need. When you have that one need, hallelujah, that songwriter says, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. He said, Lord, that Jesus died and I died for me. I am satisfied with Jesus every day. He said, nothing is gonna be wrong on the way to the glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm only trying to place your priorities right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm here to realign you that the things that you are busy chasing, you are doing it wrongly. Oh, bride of Jesus Christ. It is our right, it's our birthright to prosper. Hallelujah. And this heaven, we must go. But we must not be distracted in this journey. Praise the Lord. We must be balanced Christians. See what he was saying. Let's read back again. That Luke chapter 12. What gave rise to that statement? From verse 16. Let me read it fully. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground, listen carefully, I'm not reading a poem. This is God speaking to us. This was Jesus Christ himself trying to make us understand the things of the kingdom, how to walk with God. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. Be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, hey, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, he said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than food, meat, and the body is more than clothes, raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feeded them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be you of doubtful mind. For all these things do the heathens, the unbelievers, the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. And he added by saying, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so he is not against you doing that, but the way you go about it, you are rich here, but you are not rich towards God. That is where the problem is. You are physically rich, but spiritually poor. And that's why when Jesus in the Beatitudes said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be filled. What he's saying is, blessed are those who realize their spiritual estate. Those who suddenly notice that they are spiritually nothing. That realization will get you to look up to the cross and be filled. He said, they shall be filled. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We as a church, we have agreed, covenanted, and taken up this period of the year as our consecration period. Amen. And that's why today, I'm going to be exhorting us on a topic I called the consecration fast. The consecration fast. Amen. I picked something from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, 8, and 9. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, with a benefit, having promise of the life that now is, you will enjoy here, and of that which is to come. Godliness. Amen. Hallelujah. Godliness. It says, is profitable unto all things. There is a promise in the life here, now. You benefit from it here, now, and hereafter. Amen. Verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. My emphasis there, I borrow that word, exercise. And he likened bodily exercise, physical exercise, to godliness. It means the way you exercise physically to keep fit, there is also the spiritual exercise, godliness, that you practice to also remain spiritually fit. See? Medical science teaches us, physiologists teach us, that you want to maintain your stamina, you want to have good health to keep your body alive. He said you should always take a walk at a certain age, do certain physical exercise. Keep your body working, keep your heart pumping well. Because so many sicknesses and diseases are attributed to lack of exercise. See? Why I have seen a very old person, I'm sure that person I saw was over 70 years, riding a bicycle in the village. Somewhere around Abraka, I passed there, I saw them riding bicycle. Some years back, he was riding bicycle, an old man. But there are some 40-year-old people here. You can't try that. Before you do, I will be panting. See? In your car, there's air condition. In fact, in your bedroom, there's air condition. Come to parlor, there's air condition. Then you're going to work, air condition. In your car, air condition. In your office, air condition. And then you move from bed to seat. To sit, and then you are with computer and phone. Then small time, it collapses. They say, oh, the enemy, fire him arrow. Maybe arrow, anything. Praise the Lord. And then we all know, until government establishments, you know, even military officers, because there is no battle, they don't go anywhere anymore. They have to organize once in a while, you know, physical. Even they have one of the best, you know, sporting people and military people, because they want to keep fit every time. If there is no battle, then keep them busy with one exercise or the other. See? Where I was working on Wednesday, 1 p.m., all offices closed. It is sports day. And everybody go to the sport field, and the commander comes himself. So who are you not to come? To keep the people fit. And Apostle Paul is saying, that one, hallelujah. He said, that one profited how? He said, little. It's in comparison. Chapter 4, that's the way he put it. He said, bodily exercise profited little. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Little because it does not affect your spirit man. It's only the physical body it affects. But godliness, praise the Lord, will affect both spiritual and physical. And that is why we too want to tap the benefit of godliness, exercising ourselves unto godliness. Praise the Lord. That is exactly what we want to do. It is a spiritual exercise. I have a little child that my wife forces to eat. The little girl will be crying, but the mother will look away from the cry and give her food. Force her. If you go to the village, if you try that in Europe, they will arrest you, or European people. When the pikin refuse to eat, they will make ogi. Who come? So as he's crying, don't do that in Europe, don't do that in America. Police will arrest you. Does the mother hate the child? You must fast. Do I want to punish you? Why are you not answering me? Tell your neighbor you must fast. If you don't fast these 21 days, if you see me, don't greet me. If by mistake I greet you, don't answer. If you see me in the dream, go your way, I'll go my way. If you call my phone will even reject your number. It's an exercise unto godliness. By the time you do it, there is a benefit that you will benefit both here and hereafter. That is the assurance we have. It is a time for consecration. What is the meaning of consecration? Consecration is to set apart anything, including yourself, for God's use. To consecrate something is to dedicate it to God's service. To set apart for God's use. It is common, you will see that commonly in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 8, you will see how the priests, Aaron and his sons, the way they were consecrated, dedicated into the priesthood, because they were to do nothing else than to work for God. And so there was a ceremony, the process of consecrating them. Samuel, if you read 1 Samuel chapter 1, there's a statement, you read it from verse 11, Hannah made when she was looking for a child. She promised God that she would dedicate that child to him. A dedication, and immediately gave birth to that child. She handed him over to God, and that boy did nothing else than to work for God. In Exodus chapter 13, the children, firstborn child, male, in verse 2, in verse 12, the Lord made it clearly, said they belong to him, they were to be set apart for him. They were consecrated for him, dedicated for him. We too, as Christians, blessed be the name of the Lord. Consecration is to be set apart. That is, you are totally sold out to God. You are separated from anything else but God and godliness. And that's why, if we read the way Apostle Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14, the popular scripture, can we read it? Be ye not. That is consecration, dedication. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? And he said, for you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Wherefore, consecrate, dedicate, come out from among them, and be ye separate, say the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18. And I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The same Apostle Paul repeated in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. He said, and be not conformed to this world. That is this consecration, dedication. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes. As believers, we are supposed to be consecrated people, dedicated unto God. Take note, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 21. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Listen very well. But in a great house, he said, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor, and some to dishonor in a great house. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and suitable, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You see? In a great house, that great house is the church of Jesus Christ. And in a great house, there are many, many types of vessels. Some vessels are unto honor, and some to unto dishonor. Some vessels in a great house. Amen. Some vessels must not come near kitchen. Some vessels stay in the toilet and bathroom. But there are vessels. There are some vessels that you keep drinking water inside those pots. And some, hallelujah, you empty waste into them. They are all in one house. But to be qualified to be used for the master's use, to be fit for the master's use, he said, you cleanse yourself. Present yourself attractive for the master to say, yes, this one, I will use this one. This is clean enough for me to keep in my bedroom. Hallelujah. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. So which vessel are you? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The master can never use you until you are clean enough for him to use you. Praise the Lord. Check the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 6, after Isaiah, that year that Uzziah died, and then God opened the eyes of Isaiah to see the throne of God. Once he has seen the throne of God, then he realized how unclean he is. And I've always said something, that everyone that has claimed to be born again, and God has revealed himself to you, the first thing that You know, your first response when you meet with God is you will see how wretched you are. You will see how unclean you have been. He is so pure that every unclean thing becomes manifest in His presence. When somebody said, God met with me, I met with God, and you still continue in your dirty living, I can tell you, you certainly met a spirit, but it is not the Holy Spirit. Watch all those who write books. I saw heaven. I saw this. Always watch them. There is something they saw. The experience never leave them of the reality of God. When somebody says he's a Christian, and you say you met with God, until he even visits you, anytime you call him, he will just appear. And that experience has not affected your life, has not made you to take an inward look in your life and see how wretched you are. I can tell you, you have not yet met with the God of Israel. But you have met with a God. Because you surely now, he's not lying now, he saw something now. Can't you see anytime that spirit touching, it vibrates? Can't you see anytime that spirit touching, it sees vision? But that's the same spirit that touched Babalawo, that Babalawo is seeing vision. It's the same spirit. If it is a genuine Holy Ghost you have met, it causes you to see something about yourself. It takes your attention to yourself. And any time you sincerely look at your estate spiritually, you will see how wretched you are as a human being. That is why Isaiah cried. Oh! He remembered all the lying prophecy he was given before. Isaiah was already a prophet. Oh, it's not in the year of Uzziah that he became prophet. Oh, he was already a prophet. That's why King Uzziah brought him to his palace to receive vision for him. Any day he's hungry, he will go to thus said the Lord Uzziah. Praise the Lord.